You are now listening to the OrthoBullets podcast.
This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will be another adapted OrthoBullets core webinar from the OrthoBullets core curriculum, and this episode will cover elbow arthritis from the shoulder and elbow section. The topic will be reviewed by Dr. Matthew Ramsey, who is a professor of orthopedic surgery and chief of the Rothman Orthopedic Institute's shoulder and elbow division.
So we'll move on to elbow arthritis now, degenerative joint disease. You know, this is a pretty broad term, but we're really talking about primary osteoarthritis, the post-traumatic sequelae leading to destruction of the joint, and then inflammatory arthritis. Osteoarthritis, this is predominantly a problem of men, 4-to-1 predominance, men over women. Most of the time, these patients have arthritis, which is long-standing, long before the time they see you, and it becomes something that's problematic for them when they start to have pain, which is most notable at the extremes of motion, so forced extension or forced flexion. Very common in laborers, average age of about 50, and there is an association with hand dominance in these patients. There are a lot of secondary causes for joint destruction. Most of these post-traumatic destruction of the elbow is second most common after rheumatoid. Primary osteoarthritis is actually quite rare, and symptomatic primary osteoarthritis is even more rare than that. Some of the secondary causes include OCD, synovial chondromatosis, ligamentous insufficiency over time, as well as trauma. When we look at folks with rheumatoid arthritis, there are some very classic patterns in rheumatoid arthritis. The initial radiographs in somebody with early arthritis show predominance of problems on the radiocapitellar side, so some osteophytic lipping along the margin of the radial head with relative sparing of the ulna humeral articulation, so a nice joint space. As it gets more advanced, it starts to involve more of the joint with the classic pattern of osteophyte formation in the olecranon fossa, radial and coronoid fossas, tip of the coronoid, tip of the olecranon. You can see the normal subchondral contour of the olecranon, and then this, and it's a little harder to see in the coronoid because of the overlying radial head. Inflammatory arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis is the most common form. There are other inflammatory arthritides, psoriatic arthritis, lupus, PVNS are all examples. The elbow, it tends to be a target joint in many patients with rheumatoid arthritis and can lead to significant functional limitations, bone resorption, and osteopenia. We talked about kind of the pathophysiology being an inflammation and chronic synovitis, which leads to soft tissue attenuation, cartilage degeneration, and then bony destruction. These folks often come in with fairly rigid contractures of their elbow. In somebody who may not be as stiff, instability because of ligamentous attenuation is not uncommon. Variable degrees of joint cartilage loss, cystic formation, and deformity in these patients. So when we talk about elbow anatomy, we need to understand what normal is. So the anterior band of the ulnar collateral ligament is an important valgus stabilizer, the lateral soft tissues, lateral collateral ligament complex, and then the ulna humeral articulation, most notably the coronoid itself. Secondary stabilizers are the radial head, soft tissues medially and laterally, including flexor pronator, common extensors, and their capsules. Elbow osteoarthritis, we talked about these folks, relatively asymptomatic until they start to have end-range pain. So really important in this group of patients to know whether their predominant symptoms are end-range, which is osteophytic impingement, either a terminal extension or flexion. If they have mid-range pain, particularly with loaded activities, so lifting activities, then you have to worry that their cartilage destruction may be a little more advanced. Doesn't mean that you have to move to some other modality like an interposition or elbow replacement, but it means that their results may not be as predictable as somebody who just has terminal loss of motion. And again, watch the ulnar nerve in this patient population, particularly if they lack flexion above 90 to 100 degrees. Radiographs, they'll have joint space narrowing late in the process on the ulna humeral side. Osteophytes are very classically in the fossa, the coronoid and radial fossa in the front, olecranon fossa in the back, and the tip of the coronoid and olecranon processes. Rheumatoid arthritis, the radiographs, Loose bodies are not as typical in the rheumatoid population, although you can have cartilage loose bodies, but very classic periarticular erosions. You'll see these large cystic lesions in this patient in the lateral column, see cystic lesions in the proximal radius, and then these periarticular erosions underneath the annular ligament, which is a very common place. The sacriform recess is a common place to develop synovitis in those bony erosions. CT scanning, advanced imaging, and particularly with the osteoarthritic patient 3D reconstructions to map out your resection, I think are incredibly helpful in this population. Again, we've talked about the non-operative treatments, anti-inflammatories, injections. I use injections as a plateau therapy. If patients are struggling to push through, this can sometimes get them over the hump, resting splints, and certainly activity modification. 47-year-old man who works as a carpenter reports 12 months painful mechanical locking of his dominant elbow in the mid-range. He also has progressive pain at terminal extension that has not responded to medications, rest, and injections. Active motion is from 35 to 130 degrees, so a fairly functional arc with full pronation supination. The ulnar nerve is stable. He has no neurologic dysfunction of the hand. Radiographs are primary osteoarthritis of the elbow with some loose bodies and typical osteophytes. Most appropriate treatment in this patient is arthroscopic release, loose body removal, and osteophyte decompression. This can be done open as well, so you have to be a little careful about what they present to you as potential options. The arthroscopic debridement and release, what's called the osteocapsular arthroplasty, these tend to be best performed in patients who have mild disease, bone spurs, mechanical blocks to motion, either from osteophytes or even intermittent mechanical symptoms from loose bodies. You'd like this in patients who have more than 90 degrees of flexion. That means you don't necessarily have to address the ulnar nerve at surgery. In the historically surgeons, some, Sean O'Driscoll in particular, I know Buddy in addition, have done a lot of their ulnar nerve work arthroscopically, and now some of Sean O'Driscoll's work shows that folks who have a mini-open decompression of their nerve as opposed to an arthroscopic decompression have a lower incidence of delayed onset ulnar nerve symptoms. So nowadays, I don't do much ulnar nerve work arthroscopically, even if it's needed, but the arthroscopic treatment is best. Patients with low degree contractures, prior elbow surgery, a special ulnar nerve transposition. It's not an absolute contraindication. It's a relative contraindication that requires identification of the nerve in the portion where you're going to be establishing your portals. If you can see where the nerve is and you can see it when you establish your portal, then you're safe to do an arthroscopy with a nerve transposition. And I would say that in severe high-grade contractures, post-traumatic contractures, arthrofibrosis, that arthroscopic management of stiffness is reserved for the most expert people. The technique, you know, is obviously the same arthroscopically or open. It's release of this contracted soft tissues and removal of any impinging osteophytes and loose bodies. The most common complication is nerve injury, and even the most expert people have reported very significant nerve injuries, and therefore this is a very real issue. Next question, on elbow arthritis, 43-year-old man who works as a plumber, has a painful stiff elbow in his dominant arm. He notes that while he recalls no single event of injury, he thinks that many years of pulling wrenches and soldering pipes have resulted in this problem. He reports that he has pain with any motion in bending his arm and can no longer straighten his elbow. Examination reveals generalized swelling of the elbow both medially and laterally with a range of motion that lacks 45 degrees of extension, flexes only to 110 degrees. Pronation and supination are also limited to 45 degrees. Audible crepitus is perceived, but there is no instability. Radiographs reveal advanced osteoarthritis at both radiocapitellar and ulnar humeral joints with complete loss of cartilage. What is the most appropriate treatment in this patient? Of the options available, osteophytic resection and capsule release. I think this is a little bit of a confusing question. What they're defining here is a patient who has complete loss of cartilage, has mid-range pain, and some limitation of motion in pronation and supination. So of the options available, osteophyte resection and capsule release is the best option. We'll talk a little bit about the Outerbridge-Kashiwagi procedure, or OK procedure, also called the ulna humeral arthroplasty. This is probably of historic interest primarily because it only addresses the pathology from the back. It does indirectly address some of the pathology in the front through the back, but this is its limitations are failure to address completely the anterior osteophytes, and you certainly can't release the capsule anteriorly from the back terribly easily. This has been supplanted by the column approach and the medial over the top approaches, which allow you to work on both sides of the joint and affect the same sort of resection, albeit a little more predictable. This is used in younger patients with decreased motion. I would tell you, I would probably reserve this for folks who have predominantly loss of extension with fairly preserved flexion. So next question, a 66-year-old woman, chronic elbow pain, loss of function. She has severe morning stiffness, takes several medications for this. Exam reveals 35 to 100 degrees of flexion with markedly limited rotation. What is the most appropriate definitive treatment? This is a patient with advanced primary osteoarthritis of the elbow, and the treatment for this is elbow replacement. So in a 66-year-old woman, significant arthritis, elbow replacement is the way to go. The indications for elbow replacement, these are changing a bit, but I will tell you that this is reserved primarily for older, lower demand patients. We now do it for many pathologies. Probably a more popular pathology is distal humerus fractures at this point than the rheumatoid population. Certainly that's true in my practice. You want to watch out for the highly active patient. I would say not only under 65, but you know, folks over 65 now are a lot better than they were one or two decades ago, and they are very high demand. Obviously in the face of concomitant infection or in those with Charcot joint, those are absolute contraindications. Complication rates can be high. It depends a little bit on the underlying pathology, but infection is a real risk. Instability, we'll talk about that, is implant-specific. Wound healing problems, triceps problems, and that depends on how you manage the triceps. And the ulnar nerve problem, that's an ever-present problem with any surgery around the elbow.
That's all for this review on elbow arthritis. If you would like access to the full video version of these core webinars, sign up for the OrthoBullets core curriculum today. There will be a link in the show notes for anyone who is interested. Look out for questions related to this topic on this weekend's question session, and hopefully this episode will have prepared you for that review. Thanks so much for listening. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. See you all tomorrow.